All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. And today, well, I believe our co-host here has had some trouble tuning in and getting
in. Not anymore. He just arrived, V. He just popped in.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Okay.
Are you there?
I see his smiling face.
Okay, well, we have the butcher here.
Yes.
And we'll find out if we have Will here soon enough. Now, we have a killer guest for you today. We have podcast personality Kyler Davenport here with us. Are you there?
Yes, I am here, V. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. So, I do know we've seen you around and say, hey, you know, it seems like he's a bit of a busybody with his media. So let's get him on the show and find out what he's about. So, yeah, please go ahead and let us know who you are and what your agenda is today.
Well, you know, I've had almost had a nervous breakdown today. You know, I'm 4 days from going on the table under the knife for this cancer. And I didn't want to turn the show into a cancer show. If you didn't want to talk about it, that's fine. But I have a 50-50 chance of not being here on Thursday morning. And I wanted to kind of do this show, whatever topic we decide to discuss, I wanted to do this show in honor of all of those who have had cancer, who are experiencing cancer, or will receive a diagnosis of cancer in the near future. I wanted to dedicate my portion of this show to them. I never dreamed I would have cancer, being a former paramedic and emergency medical technician, search and rescue, and being in the funeral business as long as I have, and being an embalmer and working in forensic science and around homicide and crematorium, cremating bodies. I've been around the death business since I was 14. I'm 63 years old today.
Oh my God.
And I never dreamed I would have, cancer, you know, never dreamed. It just didn't cross my mind, you know?
Well, Mr. Davenport, my prayers are with you, and God don't cut you no slack, man. He really don't. Please continue.
Well, you know, I've got this massive tumor on my left kidney. And I thought it was gallbladder. I thought it was a gallbladder problem all this time. And what anatomy and physiology tells me, oh, it's my gallbladder. It's no big deal. I'll just wait it out. So I waited a year before I went to the doctor. And they finally got around to giving me a CT scan. And this thing came back, and this big tumor hanging off my left kidney looked like a monster. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's a tumor. And he goes, well, yeah, you're right. It's a tumor, and it's definitely not your gallbladder. And so anyway, the story goes, I asked the surgeon, you know, how long I had and what should I do? And he said, well, we need to get you on the table and get this thing out, like, now. And I said, well, what if I don't have the surgery? And he said, well, you're dead. And I said, well, okay, let's do it, you know. And that was 3 months ago. And, of course, I've had time to really contemplate and think about and focus on all of these different things that people go through in a situation like this. And I've read the Quran. I've read the, you know, the Bible, the Holy Bible, the King James Version, the Jefferson Version, the old versions, the script from Syria. I've read all of the old text. I've read the Kabbalah and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and the Lotus Sutra. And, you know, I've covered all the religions and studied all the religions, and we've talked about them on my 2,500-plus shows. I never thought I would really be taking all this that serious until I got that word 3 months ago. And then I started asking some really serious questions about life and God and deities and Jesus and the resurrection and all these other things. You know, I grew up a Baptist and became a Buddhist. Then for a while I became a kind of a semi-agnostic atheist, and then I went back to being a believer and having some spiritual foundation under me, and so now I'm a believer. I'm not a Christian. I'm a believer, and boy, I tell you, I've had some long talks with God. I'm not going to turn this into a religious show or proselytize, but I've had some really long talks with God. You know, when you hear a non-collegist say that you're going to die and there's a 50-50 chance you might die on the table, you really start getting serious about stuff all of a sudden. It really does hit you hard, you know?
Absolutely. And so your surgery is Thursday.
Thursday, I go in at 5:30 in the morning. And I get an epidural to paralyze me from my lower rib cage down to my feet. They're going to leave the epidural hub in all throughout surgery and post-op. And they're going to open my abdomen up from my lower left rib cage all the way down to my pubic area, all the way around the side lateral to my rib cage up and all the way down to my lower buttocks. And they're going to slice me open. And they're going to go in there. And I said, you know, I asked the oncologist, what is this going to be like? And he really didn't make me feel good, having PTSD from hell anyway, being in homicide as long as I was. He said, well, I'm going to tell you the truth, Kyler. This is going to be a damn train wreck for you, my friend. And I said, what? And he said, this is going to be a train wreck. And I said, well, thank you for being honest, but those two words just don't sound very good, you know? And he said, well, I'm just telling you the truth. It's going to be a train wreck during the surgery. We're going to have a transfusion team standing by and a cardiac team, crash cart standing by in case you go into ventricular fibrillation or supraventricular tachycardia or some other weird arrhythmia or have an airway problem or go into hypovolemic shock, and if you have a bleed out, we've got a transfusion team standing by. And I'm just sitting there and the hair standing up on the back of my neck, and I'm thinking, this isn't real. This has got to be some kind of weird dream I'm having. And that's what you go through, you know. That's the first thought that goes through your mind is, this is not real, you know. There's got to be some way out of this. There's got to be some escape route out of this. And then after about 3 weeks into your grieving period, you realize, hey, this is real. This is not going to go away like income tax. You know, this is a real deal, and you're just going to have to get through it, buddy. So get some courage, get some faith, get some hope, and go in there and let them do it. You know, so as I said, I've been in the, you know, dead body business since I was 14. I was running trucks for the Dallas Emergency Corps. I was working at Dudley M. Hughes Funeral Home as an embalmer assistant at 15 years old. I was cremating bodies at the crematorium at Sion and Buckner in Dallas. I worked at Forensic Science under Dr. Petty at the Dallas County Morgue doing autopsies and pulling brains out of people's heads and slicing them and dicing them and putting little pieces in cups for the ME and doing tests and going out with the homicide team, picking up stinkers and bloaters and crispy critters. And I had a little nervous breakdown back in 88, and I'd had enough of homicide. And just got out of the biz and decided to go into television. So I went into cable access television there in Dallas, and I became a director producer for television. And I ran the show in depth for a long period of time. And then I started producing other shows and doing field production on other movies and other shows. And then I met Chuck Norris and Aaron Norris and started doing some stuff on the side as extras in movies. And I did some extras in a few different movies, and Prison Break was one, Delta Force was another, and there's been a whole bunch of others. But anyway, then I decided to get my own radio show, and I went into radio on TalkShoe.com and started over there at TalkShoe and did a few hundred shows. And then I moved to blogtalkradio.com and did a few hundred shows, and I finally decided to go to Sam Broadcaster and get my own station, and I opened up Alternative Public Radio International. And here I am today, 2,436 shows later. You know, I've enjoyed it. I've interviewed hundreds of people. I've interviewed Elizabeth Taylor's biographer. I've interviewed the guy that makes the buttons for all the famous people like Elvis Presley and, you know, all those kinds of folks in the Rat Pack, makes all their buttons for their coats and shirts and all that kind of thing. I've had a great run in radio, and I'm retired now from the paramedic business, and I'm sick. I'm disabled. And here I am, you know. I'm just proud to be here breathing right now at this moment. I'm just a little antsy tonight with that surgery coming up, and I've got everybody trying to keep me on a positive track and tell me that everything is going to be all right, and I keep telling them, you know, you're not the one walking in these moccasins, and you're not the one having to make the decision to lay on that table Thursday morning. And but I feel fairly good. I had a nervous, like I said, I had a nervous breakdown this morning, and I was crying, and I was on the floor just trembling. And you know, death is a scary thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. You know, you're lying if you say, "Oh, I don't mind dying." You know, dying is no big deal to me. You're just lying. Nobody wants to die. Nobody knows what really happens after death and if there is an afterlife. We just don't know all of those variables. And it's very difficult for an intelligent person like myself that studied all the religions. You know, there's 4,700 religions in the world and over 5,000 languages. And when you add in all of the traditions and creeds and cultures and all of the philosophies and concepts and all of the histories and all of the different things going back to Egypt 6,000 years ago, you've got a lot of choices to make as far as, you know, what are you going to believe? And then you've got the Emerald Tablets and all of those kinds of things to think about. And as I said, I grew up a Christian. So I said, "God, you know, I'm going to go with you all the way." And I'm a believer. And I'm still having trouble with this resurrection deal, and I'm still having trouble with the King James Bible being tampered with as many times as it has back to Constantinople and King James and the Council of Nicaea and all of the other folks that have had their hands in the Bible for political reasons or other agendas, and I just don't trust the Bible like most people do. I'm not a literalist. I don't particularly love the Old Testament. I don't love the way God commanded all of these horrible things to happen in the Old Testament. The New Testament came along in the Reformation to make people feel a little bit better about God, I think. They added some love in there and some forgiveness, and knock and the door shall be opened, and seek and ye shall find, and love your brother and your neighbor, and all of those wonderful kinds of things to make people feel a little better about Christianity, and it's worked. So I'm sticking with with God. I'm not sticking with the Bible. I'm sticking with God, and I am a believer, and I have had a lot of conversations with God, and I hope everything works out really well. I've also been an investigator undercover 3 years with Governor Ann Richards' office, God rest her soul, Governor Ann Richards in Texas. I was an undercover operative investigating Medicare, Medicaid fraud out of Nigeria. Nigerian companies were opening up here and billing Medicare, Medicaid for dead patients. And I was also one of the agents that worked on taking down Trinity Broadcasting Network and Jimmy Baker and his wife Tammy and a few other TV ministers that were out there ripping the public off billions and billions of dollars and buying new jets and helicopters and mansions all over the world. I was responsible for taking them down, along with Robert Tilton, Mr. Marijuana himself. So I've had an interesting background. I've been chased, I've been shot, been stabbed, been stalked, gang stalked. You know, our station's been shut down a couple of times. I've had visits from the Boys in Black with the Central Intelligence Agency. My mom dated CIA guys. after Dad died, and I've had a few visits from the Central Intelligence Agency. My brother was actually the lead investigator on the JFK assassination. If you want to look that up, you can look up K.L. Anderton, A-N-D-E-R-T-O-N, K.L. Anderton. My name is Philip Anderton, my off-air name, and he is my half-brother, and he was the lead investigator for JFK. So I hold all of those secrets in my mind also, because the detectives and the Secret Service used to get so drunk, come down to the farm and tell all of their dirty little secrets when they worked for Henry Wade's office, district attorney in Dallas, Texas, and Sheriff Bill Decker. My brother was the lead investigator there, too, and a lieutenant in the police department in Dallas. And they used to come down to the farm and shoot them up and bang them up and bring their badges and guns and, you know, like the old West, and get really drunk and just tell all the secrets of the JFK assassination. So I've been followed by the police and the Warren Commission. I've been followed by private investigators and journalists trying to get me to tell the story of what my brother told me before he died, and I haven't revealed one thing, and I won't until the day I die, because I would probably be assassinated if I told what I know. And they know that I haven't talked yet, so they haven't given me any real problem or put a hit out on me yet. So I'm not on Hillary's hit list yet or anybody else's.
Well, let me ask you something. Now, you spoke about being gang-stalked, so then that means you are aware of targeted individuals, correct?
Yes, sir. You better believe I am. And I tell you what, there was a long time there, V. There was a long time there, V, when I didn't believe. And I'm a believer now, my friend. I'm a believer now. So many things have happened to me, V. So many things that ring true with all of the gangs, those that have been gang-stalked, and those targeted individuals. All of those things have happened to me, V.
Well, and are you also aware of, well, these people like to assassinate by cancer. They do have cancer weapons.
Yes, I am.
Directed energy weapons.
Yes, I'm very well aware of direct energy weapons, and I'm very aware of the effectiveness of these weapons, and they are very, very, very high-tech, and they are very well put together, and they go along with Agenda 21 and the New World Order and the Dark State, the shadow government, and the military-industrial complex plans that have been put together, along with G5 networks that are going up, and some of the other satellite technology that we have that are going to go with G5. And, you know, my friend who works at NASA, astronaut, told me he's going to send me some photos. He sent me some aerial photos from 500 miles up, that, and he actually showed me a document on a tennis court.
Hold on there. I want to stop you right there, because we're going to go to commercial break, and that seems like a good spot to stop. But we'll be right back,
all right.
Okay?
All right, B. Thank you, B.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, all right. Now, we are here for our short segment. It's about a six-minute segment here, and I'm just going to let Mr. Kyler Davenport continue on with what he was saying after I mentioned directed energy weapon cancer assassination, and he was telling us about his contact with NASA. Please continue, sir.
Well, we were talking about other issues, climate control and doing some other information. I was getting consultation from him on a few things I wanted clarification on. And during our conversation, we got to talking about the new satellite hookups around the world and how many satellites we have traveling around the Earth at this time and what their purposes are and how many different corporations lease space on these particular satellites. And I started asking him about the rumor that I had heard about these satellites at 500 miles up being able to read a postage stamp on a tennis court. We've heard that over and over and over and over again. He said, yeah. He said, I'll send you something. And he said, just don't let this out. I don't want to get in trouble. And here I am getting him in trouble on your show, V. But he sent me some documents and some photographs. Definitely they can take a license plate at 500 miles up. And, a lot of people are going to say that I'm crazy and I need to take my meds and all that. But I'm telling you, you can take it or leave it. I don't care. They have the technology now to read your license plate at 500 miles up. And they also, when I was an agent, I could listen to you at 150 yards and hear everything you're saying inside your apartment. I can hear you go to the bathroom in your apartment. I can hear you pull the toilet paper off to wipe with in your apartment from 150 yards away. I can turn every window in your house into a speaker, and I can receive all of the information that's going on within your dwelling at any time I so choose and record it. And I wanted to jump from there to what's going on in China that the United States is copying right now and using as a prototype. As you may know, China has gone to this new three-tier system where they're putting dissidents in prison or re-education camps, they're calling them. They've got 1,200,000 people locked up right now in China in re-education camps. And they're basing all of this re-education on dissidents, heretics, people that are anti-government, people that are Christian, people that have low credit scores, people that might be criminal, have misdemeanors. So they put you in a Category 1, Category 2, or a Category 3. If you're in a Category 2, you're not allowed to send your children to private school. You're not allowed to join country clubs. You're not allowed to ride transit, like take a cab or a bus. You're not allowed to have a driver's license. You're restricted to where you can shop, where you can go, what you can do, your curfew. And if you're a 3, they put you in a re-education camp, and they leave you there listening to propaganda, state propaganda, for 18 hours a day. And the conditions there are very bad, very depressing, and we have much better food and much better accommodations here in our state penitentiaries than they do in the re-education camps in China. A lot of people don't realize that China is one of the most surveilled countries in the world. You cannot go to a back alley or a public restroom or any store or any street or any highway or byway without being surveilled and them having facial profiling on you and knowing exactly who you are, where you come from, where you live, your credit score, your criminal background, and all of your history as to who your friends are, your coworkers, where you work, and what you do for your hobbies, and what your children order or do or shop online, if there is an online. If you're a Category 1, you can shop online. If you're a Category 2, you're not allowed to touch the computer. So the United States is heading in that direction, V. That's what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make here. The United States is copying China.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I'd rather live in an Islamic country right now. Why isn't the U.S. over there trying to spread so-called democracy? People, think about that. We got to go to our next commercial break, and then after that, we are in for the long stretch until the end of the hour. So, guys, please stay tuned, and we'll get more into this discussion.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000.
Flow over 9,000. All right, all right, all right. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. So I'm thinking, you know, hearing this about China, and I know, and I don't know what to make of it. I hear the stuff, and I hear it more than, you know, more than I want to believe. But then again, with everything that I've been through, I know it's real. I do know that we have so many issues with, okay, so we've got North Korea, right? And how terrible these things are going on over there. Why aren't we, you know, taking out North Korea? Why aren't we taking out China? And the easiest answer there is that we are about to emulate them, which sounds about right.
Well, we're in bed, V.
Well, hold on a second.
We're in bed with him. Go ahead, V. Go ahead.
Yeah,
V.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We are in debt. But quickly, before we get into that, though, this show is a bit of a tribute to you. I want you to drop a plug to where people can find your archived shows, website, or wherever.
Well, the best way to find me, I am so out there everywhere around the world. The best way to find me is to just Google Kyler Davenport. Just Google Kyler, K-I-L-E-R, Davenport. And you will find my CD. I've got a CD out. You'll find my digital artwork. I'm a digital artist. You'll find all of my poetry. I've got a book out called Modern Evolution of Minds. You'll find that on Lulu.com. I just put that out there. I haven't done very good with it. I didn't really want to. I'm going to give the book away, start giving it away right after my surgery. They put a $22.50 price tag on my book, and I couldn't believe it. I just looked at it yesterday, and I'm like, what the heck is that? So anyway, I'm going to be giving that book away. I've got another book on the way about human communications, the advanced art of human communications and how we communicate as human beings, and a lot about linguistics and how our vocabulary shapes our reality and our state of being, and how quantum physics plays a great part in that with particle physics, quantum physics, and I talk a lot about linguistics. How words are spells, and we spell each other with words, and how important words are to our life and our love life and our relationships and our work and our reality itself. So it's going to be a great book. It teaches people the difference in just talking and running your mouth or strategically communicating with focus and concentration and intellect.
So you are aware of slave speak. Then, right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Not too many people are. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Getting back to China, you know, this word democracy is a pseudo, it's an oxymoron. It's not even a word. Democracy should be taken out of our vocabulary completely. We don't have a democracy. We've never had a democracy, and thank goodness we don't have a democracy. Democracy means that you are a slave and that you are under contract with the government, and that you know, you hear about the all capital names thing with people talking, and you hear about the birth certificate, and you hear about the straw man, and you know, we've gone over all of these things, you know, and documents and reports that need to be filed with the courts, and I'm pretty much become an expert in that over the last 15 years. Some of that stuff works, and some of that stuff will get you in jail. And I don't want to talk about that tonight because that's too extensive. But China, back to China. We are emulating them, and we are using them as a prototype. And the American government, we don't have an American government, by the way. All seats are empty. I don't know if you knew that or not. We'll talk about that on another show, but we do not have any Senate seats that are filled, and we'll go into that maybe on another show. But our government is sold out to the mainstream corporations, or what we call the shadow government. And as most of you know, the PAC committees and the lobbyists rule the world, and they rule the United States, and they rule Europe for sure, and they rule the financial markets, and they rule just about everything that we do in America. And we're just an ATM machine, basically. People are just ATM machines. You know, when you're born, they do put your bond up on the open market. That's all true. You can look yourself up on Dun & Bradstreet, find out how much they've bonded you for. All of that.
I talk about it all the time, my friend. And people,
yeah.
Target individuals think, you know, a lot of them are targeted because they are whistleblowers, or they're self-employed, or they have a different viewpoint. And some target individuals can't understand why they are targeted, because some of them, I've literally done this research, and some of them, well, their bonds got cashed. They were gambled right away, and they need to die. There's an insurance policy right ready, and sometimes a trust fund, secret trust fund. It's time for you to go.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You know, a lot of these homeless people come up missing in these towns all over the United States. And there again, there's another show for you. But all over the United States, you'll find these mysteries where homeless people come up just missing. They can't find them. It's like children come up missing all the time, and you can't find them. Thousands and thousands and thousands of children are missing, and you can't find them. Well, we can go into the sex trade. Yes, they're being sold on the black market in the sex trade. We're losing 30 million kids a year to the sex trade, and these kids are from 8 years old to 13 years old.
Thank you so much for that. I'm releasing a book soon called Saving Carrie, that addresses this extensively. Please continue, sir.
These markets are very dangerous. I've dealt with some of them when I was undercover. I got close to some of them when I worked with the cartels. They're very dangerous. They're very ruthless. The Russia, Soviet Union, still has a big pull and power pull here in the United States and runs most of the porn. Most of the child porn here in the United States is run through Russia and China and Singapore and Vietnam and some other places that I'd rather not mention tonight. And this is a multi-billion-dollar business. Millions and millions and millions of people, both male and female, tune into child porn. It's an epidemic. It's a terrible thing. It's an epidemic, and a lot of people think that it's just dirty old Uncle Joe down at the reunion playing with little Susie, and it's much more than that. Americans are clueless when it comes to the magnitude and the depth and the danger that we are under here with our children being taken away. And as you know, our seniors and our adults and our children are being also kidnapped for organ transplant, illegal organ transplant on the black market. So there's another thing that kind of parallels with the sex trade. And then, of course, you have the illegal weapons and the illegal drug trade. And, of course, then you have our Central Intelligence Agency, which is running most of these rogue divisions. And I've dealt with them personally as an undercover operative. Our central government is running most of these operations. They have their hands in illegal weapons. They have their hands in the sex trade. And they have their hands really, really dirty in the financial markets around the world. And these are we're talking about our senators and our House of Representatives. We're talking about people in high places, judges, prosecutors, district attorneys, doctors, lawyers. We're talking about CEOs from major corporations that are involved in this kind of stuff. And some Americans, you just can't get them to believe this. They'd prefer not to talk about it. They'd prefer not to deal with it. They'd prefer to turn their head and look the other way. They do not want to mix the word American with what I've just talked about. They just can't see it. And I think people need to wake up. And like you said earlier on the show earlier, people need to wake up and they need to smell the roses. They need to see what's really going on in this government. And they need to see how this government really, truly operates. And to do that, you need to do the research. You need to do the in-depth investigative reporting. You need to do the in-depth investigative analysis. And you need to try to put all of these variables and pieces and parts together to form some kind of continuity and some kind of dossier or document that makes sense to the people and it's user-friendly where you can read it back on these talk shows and people understand it. Sometimes I get too technical on my show. I get too far out, too many big words, and people don't understand what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know Ed Johnston, but he's one of the worst in the world about talking over people's heads. Brilliant, wonderful guy. But he talks so far over your head, and he talks so fast, by the time the show's over, you've forgotten everything he said. So I try to make my show, I've dumbed it down a little bit for people to be able to understand and grasp what I'm talking about when I'm discussing the dark state. What is the dark state? How is the dark state incorporated with the military-industrial complex? And how many pieces and parts are there involved in the military-industrial complex? And how much of our military-industrial complex has gone rogue with the CIA and the National Security Agency and Interpol and the Federal Bureau of Investigation? So I try to break all of these different things down. You know, the New World Order is a word that's been overused. When people hear it, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. There are many, many components, very integral components to the New World Order. And in order to understand these things, you've really got to study and research and analyze and read and ponder and think, you know, how does this really work? Who's getting rich on all this stuff, you know? And Americans are just clueless. And I hate to say that on the show, but Americans are clueless. The majority of Americans are just clueless. You know, they're trying to work and pay their bills. They're trying to work to feed their families and pay for their car insurance and their boat insurance and trying to maybe go out to eat at fish and chips every once in a while, take in a movie. They're not interested in any of this stuff. So it's guys like us tonight on air here that put our life on the line, and we dedicate ourselves to bringing the public these very important, this very important information that they need to be able to protect their families and their children and take care of their friends and their relatives and their coworkers. And it works. You guys are getting out there. Your voice is getting out there. My voice is getting out there. We don't always feel like it is, but I want to tell you, V, our words are getting out there. You said it earlier. People are waking up, V.
Well, I want to say your knowledge is very extensive. Your wisdom is very extensive. I am surprised I'm just having you on the show now. I do know I've seen some of your stuff before and how you were tackling the child porn stuff and some information on the Islamic State. You know, you're really not afraid to say the truth, and when you want to, you're doing it. So I really appreciate you. You're probably an unsung William Cooper of today.
I don't know.
May I answer something on something that he has said that struck a nerve with me? Like I said, we're working on this book right now called Saving Carrie. And what we had was, sir, and you'll understand this, we stumbled upon a child sex trafficking operation in Brigham City, Utah, where the elementary school principal would pick the girl out, and the girl would be led into a park, and she would be introduced into sex activities and drugs. The CPS would be called in with the attorney general to back them up. The child would be removed, the child would be placed in a foster home down in St. George or somewhere south of Salt Lake City. And then if the child ended up dead, it would be a cold case. And it was a huge operation involving Nevada, Montana, Colorado. They were running a sexual smorgasbord in Lindsay Park. And they only made one mistake. They tried to market my granddaughter, and that was their mistake. So I totally understand what you're saying. And I want to say one more thing, because you got so much to say, I don't want to interrupt you again. With your health, I understand. I had a growth in my nose years ago, and they didn't know what it was, and I was scared and all that kind of stuff. But everybody, when you have one of these things, people, you know, they all pray, and they say you're going to be all right and everything. But, and only you will understand this statement, okay? They're not dead. I was dead.
Right.
I was outside the room. Yes, you understand. I was dead. They weren't dead. I had checked out.
Right.
And I do pray for your recovery, because you are, sir, a national treasure. Thank you so much.
I thank you, sir, for that compliment. It's a high honor, and I really do appreciate you so very much. You're making me feel better about going into surgery. Both of you tonight are making me feel better. I don't know how to explain that. You guys can go to bed and think about it tonight, but you're putting some magic on me here, and you're making me feel better about life and myself and my future and my recovery. But I wanted to say something else about this sex trafficking business. My estimates and all of my analysis and research indicate that about 40% of these foster care homes are involved in some type of sex trafficking. Now, many people will generalize and say, oh, they're all dirty, they're all this, they're all that, and that's not true. That's not true. You got to do your research. About 40% of the foster care homes are incorporated with some type of mafioso, some type of syndicate, some type of group or organization that is grabbing these kids up, and they're packaging them up, and they're caging them up, and they're transporting them around the world. I have a friend that lives in Arkansas that's a launderer. He launders money for the mob, and he's laundering about $1 million a week now for the mob. And he's laundering money from the mob for sex trafficking. And $1 million a week, folks. I mean, come on. That's a lot of money. And that's just one small operation in Bill Clinton's neighborhood over there where Bill used to wash car titles. You know, Bill started out, him and Hillary started out washing car titles. That's how they got into the cocaine business. And I have a very, very good friend who used to wash a lot of titles with Bill Clinton. And that information hadn't even come out. It's not even that important to people, Bill washing car titles. But, you know, they also were in the porn business. And Bill and Hillary had a warehouse, and it was dedicated to the child porn business. And it was behind the mansion and was protected by the Secret Service and the Texas Rangers. I'm sorry, by the state troopers. And you would think, oh, well, why didn't these state troopers come out and say anything about this? Well, they were involved in it. Well, why didn't the Secret Service come out and say anything about this? Well, they're sworn not to, no matter what. Just like the Central Intelligence Agency has a license to kill, to maim, to destroy, to rape, to pillage, to rob, Central Intelligence Agency has a license to do anything they want to do, anywhere they want to do it, anytime they want to do it, to anyone they want to do it to. And local law enforcement basically has the same kind of green light to do the same kinds of things. In the lower echelons, don't get involved, but the upper echelon police departments do, the higher lieutenants and all of those. You don't make lieutenant in the police department unless you're dirty. And at some point in time, you will become dirty if you grow. And the military is the same way. If you're going to become a lieutenant commander, lieutenant colonel, you're going to get into something shady. You're going to get into something dangerous. You're going to get into something rogue. And a lot of people don't realize this. And we've still got soldiers in Afghanistan that need to come home. They're guarding poppy fields.
Preach it.
You know, they're creating our drug situation here. They're adding to it, you know. And our poor soldiers have become mercenaries, rogue mercenaries for the shadow government and the lobbyists. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to say. And a lot of people really hate me for when I say this. They hate my guts. And they call me a heretic. And they call me that I'm not a patriot, that I'm anti-American. But it's the truth, and it's not our boys' fault. They're in the service, they're under orders, and they're going to do what they're told to do. That's what soldiers do. And our soldiers need to come home. You know, the terrorists are right here in our backyard. They're in Washington, D.C., that 20-mile square of Washington, D.C. It's not 10, it's 20, by the way. In that 20-mile square in Washington, D.C. and at Vatican City, that's where our terrorists are. And we need to wake up and we need to realize that. And it would be nice if we could set up grand juries all throughout the United States Incorporated and bring some of these people to justice. But the problem is Americans are so divided on the issues and so uneducated on the issues and so lazy and laid back and very comfortable in their positions, most of them, that they just don't have time, they don't want to, or they're too ignorant to realize that we have a problem here and it's epidemic, it's dangerous, and it's going to create a revolution at some point, and it's going to be very, very bloody, 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 or our own U.S. government is going to fire off a nuclear bomb in the mid-state somewhere and blame it on somebody else, and that's going to start World War III. So there's a lot of scenarios that we could get into, including natural disasters, man-made disasters, EMPs, you know, from the sun, or EMPs from man-made weapons and technology. So many dangerous things are lurking out there right now. Most people are just asleep at the wheel and they don't understand it. But we'll keep doing these shows and we'll keep pounding on these issues, you know.
Mr. Kyler Davenport, we need an inquisition. We need to go and confiscate all those guillotines, and we need to come in force and start pulling these people and putting them underneath the blade and start asking questions. We need an inquisition. We need a cleansing. And I'm glad you said that.
You know, we outgun them. You know, Americans, here's the problem. Americans outgun them. And you're always hearing people on the air say, oh, well, we outgun them, you know, 100-1. We outgun them, we'll be behind every blade of grass in America, you know, and that's just not true, because just because you have a weapon Now, just because you have a closet full of weapons, it doesn't mean that you're capable of using them, and it doesn't mean that you're able to use them, and it doesn't mean that you have the courage to use them. And I'm the same way. I've got a closet full of weapons and ammunition, but I'm not going to be the first dove shot off the fence. You know, if it was like Puerto Rico, when that governor was running down there in Puerto Rico trying to become another dictator in Puerto Rico, 400,000 people hit the streets and said, hell no, we're not going to have this guy come in here, and we're going to hit the streets, and we're going to get this guy's heads chopped off. Well, they did.
Right.
400,000 people
and see,
hit
that's
the streets for
what
crooked
government.
That's what
all around the country, all around the world. But I'm sorry, I've got to cut you off because we've come to the end of the show. And so I want to encourage everyone to look up Kyler Davenport's work, show him support, contact him, on Facebook, give him your prayers and your thoughts. And guys, remember, this is what we need to be doing. We need to get educated, and we need to get ready for what's coming, because our pea shooters may not actually stack up to their doomsday weapons. Okay? So, thank you
for
tuning
in. If you want to find me on Facebook, you can find me Philip Anderton. Philip, P-H-I-L-I-P, Anderton, A-N-D-E-R-T-O-N. Philip Anderton. Or you can Google Kyler Davenport. Thank you, V, and thank you, everybody. I appreciate you guys so much. You've lifted my spirits more than you'll ever know, and I'm going to be a regular contributor to the show. Thank you for everything
tonight. You better be. Great guest. Thank you very much.
You need to live, dude. Man.
I'm going
to
live.
All right.
I'm going to call you guys 25th or 26th. I'm going to hobble to the phone and call V and let him know I'm okay and I'm alive.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, New Atlantis Surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.